Hey, this is Vinny Caruana from The Movie Life. I am The Avalanche, Peaced Out, Constant Elevation, and you're listening to We Podcast and We Know Things.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the very special episode 250 of We Podcast and We Know Things, where we recap all of the week's nerdy news. My name is Greg Hall, and alongside of me is almost always the best damn voice in the business, Sam Matura.
Blam, blam, blam.
Episode 250, let's go.
250 episodes of just this show, not even including all of our interviews that we've done, 45 plus interviews, five of them with one person that we actually just wrapped an interview with. Now, be on the lookout Monday or Tuesday, probably Monday, you're going to get a bonus episode for the fifth time returning on the show. Sergio Anello, the bass player of the Early November, now turned into solo artist, is dropping a new solo EP. So we had him on for like 20 minutes to rap about it.
And as always, he sent us to us a little early, so we got a sneak peek. Of course, Serge, thank you as always.
I thought you were going to talk longer. I was taking a drink of water. Listen, 250 episodes, I still get caught drinking water. We gotta get the timing down on that.
Come on.
Dude, so much fun having Serge on, but because the platform we use does not support mobile, we actually had to go back to the caveman days and do a three-way phone call. So you'll hear a little bit of a difference in audio quality there. But
never gets old.
If you listen to us from March through, I don't know, November of the pandemic last year, then you're used to it because it sounds the exact same as that did when Sam and I couldn't do live episodes anymore. But man, it is going to be baller because I look back on it, even though we just had it, and it's one of my favorite conversations, short but sweet.
Yeah, I like we said at the end, like let's not wait as long to talk. I mean, we always stay in touch, but you know, it's not the same.
Yeah. So again, Serge, great dude. Follow him on Instagram at Sergio_Anello, A-N-N-E. I'm sorry, I screwed that one up. It's not A-N-N-E-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-O. It is Sergio_Anello, A-N-E-L-L-L-O.
Yeah.
So he just dropped a new EP. Well, he's dropping a new EP on the 17th of September, a hodgepodge of modern furniture and antiques. Five songs, less than 15 minutes. Get all the details in our bonus episode dropping this Monday. It's in your feed just 2 days after this. So we got a big one here for you. Episode 250. Got our picks of the week. Got our trivia. It's 10 to 10, by the way. So very fitting to
and
do
I
this.
I think I have a fucking alley-oop up to you. I was like, you know what? Greg's my boy. I had a long week. I was feeling generous. Like, let me give him this right up your alley question.
I'm giving Sam a question on one of his favorite video games of all time. So it's one of your favorite franchises.
Okay.
So
okay.
Maybe not your favorite game in the franchise, but I'm looking forward to that question. No, not Crash Bandicoot. We got gaming to start us off tonight. So big 250, what better way to celebrate than a giant PlayStation 5 showcase recap, 45 minutes of PlayStation news, plus some interviews afterwards, like Nintendo Treehouse style, where we actually got even more details about that. We have every announcement from that, so we'll go through all of them. It was definitely a tale of two halves. I like what they did. They got a lot of the third party stuff, all of the third party stuff out of the way, the things we already knew, and then that was about two thirds of it. Then that final third act.
God damn, they brought the house down.
That was all PlayStation Studios first party. I appreciated that they did that and didn't sprinkle it, but it does make it very easy for me to rewatch because I can just fast forward the first 25
minutes. Yeah, see, I was late on it, so I could, you know, fast forward a little bit just because I didn't watch it long.
Me neither, but I wanted to stick it out for the people so we could talk about it. But we'll have our top three from that showcase. That'll be the top three this week. We have some news on Twisted Metal. We had a very good conversation about that last week on 249, if we would ever get a Twisted Metal game again. So we're going to have some updates there. Another update on Horizon Forbidden West. Last week, we talked about how they basically fucked the release schedule on that, or the way they're releasing that. Sony kind of doubled back on that, so we have an update there. Have an update on AGDQ 2022. I'm going to do a review for WarioWare, get it together, but it'll be the review's coming at the end today. I'm trying something new where we put the reviews at the end, not up front. I'll take back over hosting in movies, where Sam is going to give us his spoiler-free impressions of Shang-Chi. I have not watched it. Shang-Chi, some say. I have not watched it yet. Sam has seen it. Another update for the fifth time on Venom, Let There Be Carnage. It has another new release date. The Injustice animated movie and The Matrix 4. I think it's Matrix Resurrections or something. That got its first trailer, so we'll talk about that. Some news on a Pokemon movie and a Pokemon TV show. Our friends in Bearings have released a new song. We'll talk about that real quick in music before Sam gives us his CGC spotlight, and we will get on out of here. But let's start for the 250th time, where we customarily do with our picks of the week.
Pick of the week this week. I got it on Blu-ray. Thank you, Amazon, for getting it to me early. Mortal Kombat Legends, Battle of the Realms. I don't know if it just got reviewed badly, but for what this was, I loved it. This was one of the most bloody, visceral action movies I've ever seen. I mean, people are getting sliced in half, heads are flying, blood splattering the screen. You got our girl Jennifer Carpenter as Sonya Blade. I was like, oh shit.
Dexter. Right?
Yeah, so you got Joel McHale as Johnny Cage. They're probably the basically big two that anyone would know. Matthew Lillard has a little cameo in the beginning as Shaggy, which was it was so quick, but it was funny.
I saw that took over Twitter for a day.
Yeah, you know, like had its little, it was funny. Like it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting to see Shaggy in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I heard good things about it. I haven't watched it yet, but it is on my watch list for sure. Our friend Justin for the mashup, he had a glowing review about it, so I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, and again, the hardest R rating, but like you know what Mortal Kombat is. Like I know what I was expecting. Heads are
falling off.
Yeah, like yeah, I know what I'm expecting. My favorite characters are in it. Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Liu Kang, Raiden, like, you know, some awesome people are in it. Liu Kang's basically chosen to fulfill his destiny to fight in the tournament.
Is it just another tournament arc, though?
Like, well, there's a side story kind of with Scorpion. He's after an artifact for, Shinnok. And he basically comes into conflict with, I would say, a younger Sub-Zero. And it kind of weaves its way to the end. And they kind of meet. And Shao Kahn's in it. And you know how it, you already know it's going to be bloody, you know, action with him and Johnny Cage. Like, it's your favorites are there. You know what you're expecting. It's 80 minutes. I bought it on Blu-ray. I'm sure it's on Amazon or anything else like that you could buy or just rent it.
But it'll be on HBO Max soon enough.
Yeah, check it out. Mortal Kombat Legends, Battle of the Realms.
Yeah, a lot of people started watching all the other Mortal Kombat movies on HBO Max to lead up to this one, so I imagine it did well. And it'll be on HBO Max soon enough. I would say probably within, they'll probably let the Blu-ray sales ruminate a little bit. So I'd say within probably a month or two, it might be on that service.
Yeah, and it was $14. I was like, you know what, let me support it, because you know, if you don't support it, then you don't get this, how you don't get sequels. So I was like, you know,
HBO
what,
Max is supporting it, sending it a stream. It's those pirates out there that aren't supporting it.
Yeah, but, you know, being a little collector, you like to, you know, have them all.
You want my Blu-rays, man? I'm telling you, I don't want these.
No, that's why I have to pick and choose now. You know, I sold a lot of stuff on eBay and stuff like that, but, you know.
I've got 415 Blu-rays just sitting in my garage. They're their choice. If anybody is looking to enhance their Blu-ray collection, DM us on Instagram or whatever. We can definitely work something out, because I am looking
also, to get rid of that. $2 a pop.
I need, that's kind of where I'm at, $2-3 a pop. I'm looking to get rid of that so I can have some more room in my garage for useless Christmas decorations that I don't give a fuck about. So, but that's married life. So anyway, my pick of the week for the first time since March of 2020, which feels like forever ago, although it's just a year and a half, for the first time, and probably even before that, maybe late 2019, I can finally say, professional wrestling is fun. I am just, my pick of the week is a company, All Elite Wrestling, baby. AEW. I was All Elite before the pandemic. I was swaying away from WWE, getting out of sports entertainment and getting back into professional wrestling. And when the pandemic hit and crowds went away, I watched it for a couple weeks, and I watched Matt Hardy debut and all that, and it was just not the same. And I'm cool with sports without fans. I'm cool with, you know, live streamed concerts without fans. But there was something about professional wrestling without fans that just completely took my enjoyment away from it. It's the chance mid-match. It's the pop when somebody surprises you and comes out. And it's like the people turning their heads, so I know that the camera is about to go to something banging. Like, it's just little cues that a live crowd gives you. And now that crowds have started to come back, myself not among them, I don't feel, you know, I'm at a space where I want to go to a big popular indoor event yet, but even outdoor. But where I'm at is just before All Out, I was hanging out. We were watching Ted Lasso on a Friday night. And all of a sudden, I go on Twitter and I see CM Punk is back in AEW. I immediately paused it, turned on TNT, set the DVR to record it, and I watched CM Punk deliver a 10-minute promo that got me back, and it was fun, and he looked like he was having fun. And then I said, you know what? Let's start watching Dynamite again. I said to Ashley, I said, you know, I know we're out of WWE. SummerSlam kind of sucked. We did watch that, trying to get the feels back, and it just wasn't fun that much. So I said, would you be willing to give AEW another shot? She said, of course. So we watched Dynamite and we enjoyed it. And then we watched Dynamite the next week and we enjoyed it. So for All Out, the big pay-per-view for $50, I said, do you want to do it? Do you want to watch it? And she said, you know what? Let's do it. We got a 2-week old. We ain't got shit to do. Good. Let's watch All Out. And it delivered match after match after match. When Chris Jericho and CM Punk, who didn't wrestle for 7 years, have two of the weaker matches on the card, you know it was a good show. That's how good.
I was going to say, I actually ran into our buddy, Ryan Simmons. I was having a brain fart. Ryan Simmons. And I was like, yo, man, how was it? Because we know, obviously, we follow him on IG and we saw that he traveled, you know, took pictures in the pitch black dark.
He went to Chicago because he knew they were going to be there.
Like, exactly. Went there, saw it live. I was like, how was it? And just, dude, just to see the smile on Simmons' face, it was like, ah, like, I was like, I was envious. And I'm not even like huge in the wrestling. I don't even know CM Punk like that, but just kind of seeing him and just a little bit that we were able to talk about, I was like, man, what an experience that whole, he'll never forget.
This is the same Ryan Simmons who A, had a show on our podcast for a couple months, but B, dressed up like CM Punk to meet him and made it into CM Punk's WWE DVD.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So he's a CM Punk diehard. Yeah, so it was super cool. And so we watched All Out, and had the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in a steel cage was the best match I've seen in 2 years. And it was maybe even longer. It was so good. And then we get to the end. Kenny Omega beats Christian. Yes, that same Christian Cage from WWE. And okay, great. What's going to happen next? And I, you know, everybody, the rumors are that Daniel Bryan from WWE is going to come back as Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, and make his AEW debut. CM Punk all but said it. Earlier in the night, Ruby Riott, Just Let Go from WWE, makes her debut. So now Ruby Riott as Ruby Soho is back, and she just looked happy. And then Kenny Omega takes the mic, and everybody says, oh my goodness, here comes Bryan Danielson. He's going to shock us all. He's going to be here. Who was it? Adam Cole, baby!
Baby!
My favorite wrestler in NXT history, Adam Cole, is All Elite. He then turned heel. He joined the Elite. He's with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and all of that. And then who comes out to stop that? Bryan Danielson. They pulled a twofer. And Bryan Danielson, Ruby Soho, and Adam Cole all made their debuts on the same night. $50 well spent. DVR'd to watch it for the rest of my life 100 times. I cannot recommend it enough. It was so cool. So then we turned on Dynamite this past week, and they're all there kicking ass, taking names, dropping great promos. Bryan Danielson dropped the F-bomb. It was awesome. And then you look at the rest of the roster. Rusev, now in there as Miro. You have Aleister Black. Now there is Malakai Black. You have Andrade back as Andrade. There are so many just huge names in AEW, and they all just look happy again to be there. Like they're not, like their creativity isn't being sucked from them minute by minute. And I love the WWE and WWF, especially growing up in the Attitude Era. And so, I can't, like, I'm not going to sit there and shit all over it. It's just not, the product just isn't for me anymore. So to watch AEW, it feels good, baby, to be All Elite. My pick of the week,
baby,
All Elite Wrestling, baby. Sam, 10 to 10 in trivia. Let's go.
Yeah. Even though we're all knotted up, I say, you know what? I'm gonna hook my boy up this week. How many types of Pokemon are there?
18.
You are correct, my friend. A nice, easy question. You deserve it. You take the lead 11 to 10.
As I sip on the Crystal Light. Yeah, let's go. 18. They introduced the fairy type in Gen 6. That was the last time they introduced the type. I was hoping they'd introduce one in 8.
And I was like, Greg's the type of nerd to know exactly the answer. And well, I know my boy. I know you. I know you, bro.
What were the choices?
16, 18, 20, 22.
Okay, cool. Real quick, let me update the score here on my notepad. So it is 11 to 10. I'm probably going to change it from 11 to 10 to 11 to 11. At the worst, 10.5 here, because your question's about Twisted Metal.
Uh-oh.
I'm giving you one too, brother.
I'm rusty.
The PC port of Twisted Metal 1 only came out in one country. What country?
I have no idea. I'll take me the answers.
Was it Brazil? Was it Japan? Was it Australia? Or was it the United States?
Wait, what was the question again?
The PC port of Twisted Metal 1. Not the PlayStation version. The PC version only dropped in one country. What country? Brazil, Japan, Australia, or us here in the United States?
In my head, it's Australia or Japan. I'll go Japan.
Ding, ding, ding. 2 for 2 on episode 250, brother. 11 to 10.5. I cannot win next week.
It was a safe play.
Yeah, we have to win by 2. I threw the U.S. in there because maybe it's a little bit of a trick question. I kind of almost wish the answer was the U.S. because I don't think you ever would have guessed it.
Yeah, honestly, once you said, I was like, in my head, I was thinking Australia, but you said Japan. I was like, I figured like PC, Japan, go with it. And
Brazil has some crazy gaming stuff going on. Australia sells games on retail for like $120. So I figured, okay, maybe. Australian. But so maybe, you know, I'll throw those out there. And then I said, do I go Canada or do I go to the US and try to throw them off a little bit?
Dude, it was good. It was solid answers.
I ultimately went US, but you got it right. 11 for me, 10.5 for you in a race to 11, win by 2. Now let's get to the good stuff.
And I'll take it over in gaming. And of course, we have to start with the thing that we've been waiting months and months for. We have it. Let's talk about it. The PS5 showcase.
I would arguably almost a year since the last one. Almost over a year. What was it? Last June or July, actually. I think it was June or July. They had delayed it because of the BLM protests. So I think it was either late June, early July. And that's the last time we got one of these big packed Sony showcases. And we had said last...
45 minutes. It wasn't 3 hours. You know, like it was perfect.
Yeah. And it turned out that, you know, we had talked about some expectations last week. Maybe, you know, not a lot of that showed up, but I still say we kind of got our cake and ate it too. Before we go announcement by announcement, because we will, let's give our high-level impression. Sam, what did you think of the PlayStation Showcase?
And I don't know if we said it earlier or, like, it started off a little slow for me, and then it just finished top-heavy, was strong, and it delivered everything that I wanted. I was hoping, of course, for a little bit more. You know, we didn't get the Twisted Metal thing that we were hoping to get. That would have been awesome. But to end it, what we got, I couldn't ask for more. I really couldn't.
I liked it a lot. At least the last 20 minutes, there were things like sprinkled in the first, I would say 25 minutes. The last 15 were pretty hype, that I dug, you know, there was something that got leaked early and then they basically, the actual real Twitter account said, yeah, you guys got us. It's coming. So like that cat was out of the bag. I would have loved it if that was a surprise. Unfortunately, when you have a nerd podcast, you're kind of always scouring the internet for shit. And like very few times stuff like that would get past us, like a leak or something. So that was hyped. We'll talk about it in a second. It kicked off with an announcement that a lot of people wanted, a lot of people are hyped for. I'm not among that crowd. But overall, I said it earlier, it was a tale of two halves for me. The first half was that third-party stuff, a lot of stuff we've already seen and heard before, kind of updates. Let's get that shit out of the way. And then Herman Holst came on and said, from here on out, we're talking PlayStation Studios, first-party stuff.
Oh, that was when he said that, I was like, oh, baby.
And they went with, I think, 4 things total there, and 2 of them were brand new announcements off the chain. 2 of them were updates to previously announced titles from last year's showcase. And I would say overall, it was a really good show. The first half, though, maybe you could skip it if you're not into a lot of that stuff, but definitely worth it for that last 15 minutes.
Yeah, because again, I was a little late. There was some stuff I skipped because, you know, like you said, we saw it before. We knew what it was, or it just wasn't my cup of tea, and I just kind of kept it moving.
There was one first party title that I'll get into when we get there that I have zero interest in, but we'll talk about that because I was at a 10 for that game when it was originally announced, and now I'm at a 0 for multiple reasons. But we'll talk about that. Let's get into the show. It kicked off with Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic. A very long rumored remake. KOTOR basically is the most popular Star Wars game ever. Maybe Battlefront has since taken that over, but KOTOR, absolute classic, is being remade as a console exclusive, but timed. So it'll come first to PS5, eventually make its way over to Xbox and I believe PC. But a remake for PS5 timed exclusive. This one, again, maybe not for me. I didn't play KOTOR growing up, but I know a lot of people out there very hyped for this one.
Yeah, I didn't play it either. We know it's going to look beautiful. We know the load times are going to be amazing. This is probably more for our boy Extra Texture, Sean.
Yeah, for sure. Aspyr is the development team behind it. They didn't give us any gameplay. We just got that trailer. We got Darth Revan coming out. And again, no release date or nothing. Sorry, again, 2 weeks in a row. We're recording in the daytime, so we got asshole dogs behind me barking.
That's my dog, Remy.
Oh, was it?
That's my dog.
Oh, my bad, everybody.
I was trying to mute, and I didn't get there in time.
Yeah, did I say asshole dogs? I meant smash mouth.
Yo, you heard something out front? You know, my dogs are protectors.
But I did call your dog an asshole.
That's disrespect.
Oh, my God. This next game, Project Eve, it's got a cool story behind it. It was unveiled before, so this is not our first look, but I didn't see it. So this was like the first time I really kind of dug into it. It felt a lot like Bayonetta meets Devil May Cry.
Yep.
It's pretty neat, but it got a lot of stage time. I don't know if Project Eve will be the final title. It might be because it didn't say working title there. But this game is actually from a Korean developer. So awesome for Sony to kind of show off, developers from other countries. This got a long look. What did you think of Project Eve?
I thought it looked very interesting, but man, them monsters were ugly as shit.
They were. That you could tell that, you know, high quality renders on that. That looked good.
Yeah, like you said, hack and slash, you know, very bloody. This will definitely be for a mature audience.
Very combo heavy. Very
I just need to see a little bit more. Let's see what happens.
You need to see. We got fucking 5 minutes of it. To see more is a lot of footage. I was shocked that guy. I was like, damn, dude, are we gonna move on? Like, I have to admit, because I was about 30 minutes late to it. I was almost over by the time I caught in. So I started from the beginning. I might have fast forward about half of this because I was like, all right, guys, we're kind of dragging our feet. I mentioned it last week. Every minute you spend on something is a minute you don't get to spend on something else. So I was like, anything more than like 3 or 4 minutes, I'm kind of out, because I just want, you know, I'm looking for quantity here because I want something, a reason to turn my PS5 on. This for me is probably not one of those right now. I didn't buy Devil May Cry. I'm not a Bayonetta fan. So this wasn't something that, you know, necessarily I'm going to drop the hammer down on. But you're a Devil May Cry guy. You said you need to see more.
I felt like it leaned more on like the Bayonetta side rather than trying to be Dante. But it wasn't, but it looked interesting. I don't think it'll be a $70 buy, but if it's ever like a $20-$30 buy, okay, maybe
that I will give you that. I think it is more Bayonetta. No, not because of a female protagonist. But I do agree with the style. It did sway more Bayonetta than Devil May Cry. After that, we got an update on Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. This is a Borderlands spinoff title, a full title. And we got all of the Tiny Tina in this one. We actually got a release date as well, March 25th, 2022. It said on the release when it got unveiled on Summer Game Fest, it was early 2022. So now we have March 25th is the type. It's a quick turnaround for this one since it is a full-fledged game in the Borderlands world. I will tell you, when I saw monsters that were land sharks, I was all in, but this is just another Borderlands style game. Everybody says it's not a Borderlands game, but it is. It's Wonderlands now is the new spinoff. But as much as I was in on it for the unveiling, I didn't finish Borderlands 3 again. And I'm like,
no interest.
I'm interested. I totally am. And I would totally see myself picking this up, because what I love about Borderlands games is they sell like gangbusters. They sell tons and tons, millions and millions and millions of copies. And then when they hit a wall, they go down to like 10, 15 bucks for the base game. Borderlands always packs tons of DLC. I imagine this will be no different. But the base title is usually 10, 15 bucks. And that's when I get it. I bought the PS5 version of Borderlands 3 for $5 on Best Buy on sale. I had a $5 gift card, but still 10 bucks for that game. You know, you're going to jump all over it. I think that's where I'm at with this. Let the base game drop in price to that $15, $20 range, and then I'll be all over it, because I am a Borderlands fan. I own them all. I love them all. I've beaten them all except for 3, because just a big time commitment there. But it's interesting, but now we know at least it'll be March. Did this game do anything for you?
No. I didn't even write anything down. I wrote every other game but that one.
Damn, Dungeons and Dragons, Borderlands doesn't do anything for you.
No, hard. I don't like Borderlands. I never, it's just not for me. Are you going to see the movie?
Are you going to watch the Borderlands movie?
I'll probably, again, it's something I'll probably watch. I won't be going to the theaters to see that one. That I will wait. But again, like we said, this first half really wasn't my cup of tea. I appreciated that they're showing some new stuff, some old stuff. But again, it just, you know, I just said, okay, be patient, wait till the end.
An update on a game that we got in the previous showcase, Forspoken, was up next. Again, a nice, long, meaty trailer. A nice update to this one. It's coming spring 2022. So again, right around that March, April time frame. So a little bit before next E3. I was interested in this when it was first announced. It's coming from Square Enix, which makes me even more intrigued. But again, I found myself fast-forwarding a little bit of this one too, because something about it this time around just did not grab me.
Yeah, this one was like me for you. I thought this one felt a little too long.
Yeah, I would agree. And I love parkour. I love all that. There's a lot to love about this game, but as a total package, something about it didn't spring for me, especially when if I need that long of a look at a game to be excited, I'm not going to be that excited.
Yeah.
I was almost like, too much here, guys. Like, let's peel it back a little bit. Leave a little bit of mystery here. It just didn't hit 100% for me. Again, thought you were going to say something. I'm trying to drink a lot of water here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on a weight loss journey.
I guess you weren't kidding that you do drink a shit ton more water now. You were not kidding.
Dude, 100 ounces a day, which might not sound like a ton to everybody, but that's about 99. I don't know,
that seems like too much.
That's, well, you're at a person. Yeah, but you weigh a lot less than me. A person at my weight is actually supposed to have 140, I think. So as like a proper diet. So it's I have a 32 ounce container. I fill it up 3 times. It's 99. You know,
Jesus. God 90, bless you.
96. So if you
keep it up, brother.
But I'm down 11 in just 15 to 16 days. So, you know, rocking and rolling here. But this next game is an update on something we saw at E3. I couldn't be more out on Rainbow Six Extraction.
And I feel like this is more for friends of the show, Two Guys, One Moop, our buddies. You're going Fuzz. I know they still play, you know, Rainbow Six now. So hopefully they got, you know, some enjoyment out of this. But, you know, we never really played that Rainbow Six growing up.
This was, I believe, unveiled at the Ubisoft E3 show, and it's a Left 4 Dead style game, which I love that. I love Left 4 Dead, but I have Back 4 Blood hitting Game Pass next month. I don't need another one of these. So especially in a world, like you said, Rainbow Six just doesn't speak to us, and especially in a world and setting that I don't give a shit about. This is also kind of a Far Cry, pardon the language. We didn't see Far Cry 6, thank God, by the way. For like the first time ever, we didn't get Far Cry 6 in a major event. But this was a kind of a far cry from what the world of Rainbow Six generally is. And while I appreciate the step out of the comfort zone, because I always love, you know, somebody willing to be experimental, to do it in a safe PvP Left 4 Dead style thing didn't do it for me. I'm completely out on this one. It will never get a cent of my hard-earned American money.
I love your honesty.
I've been waiting to say that all day. Like, I thought of that.
I'm glad you got that out. It was probably therapeutic.
I when I saw it, at the thing, I was like, I'm going to say this. I'm glad I didn't forget to say it. I generally do. I listen back to the pod and I'm like, shit, missed opportunity. Not there, my friend. Next, we got the first hype moment of the presentation for me for the first time on PlayStation.
Yeah, I saw this and I was happy for you, because I know you were calling for this.
This was an Xbox 360 masterpiece, cult classic, gem, Alan Wake, about a writer who is out in the forest, the swamps, the whatever, trying to write a book. He uses a flashlight mechanic to stun ghosts and enemies to then shoot them and kill them. It's a very unique mechanic, and I thought it was a masterpiece of a game when released all that time ago on 360. I want to say it was like 2006, 7, or 8. Like, it's been a long time since we saw the original Alan Wake. It has a sequel, Alan Wake 2, but again, never on a PlayStation console. And this was teased, and we put it on our IG story last week. And I said, I hope it's real. But they said before the show, yeah, it's real. It's coming. Expect it at this show. Okay, fine. I'll be excited now. And so we're getting the Alan Wake remaster on October 5th. So less than a month, the same day Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania comes out, and just 3 days before Metroid Dread and the Nintendo Switch OLED. But here's the beautiful thing as to why I will be picking this up day one. So it is coming to Xbox as well. So maybe it'll even come to Game Pass. You never, ever know. But if it doesn't, I want to say the MSRP is only $30 on it.
Oh, wow. So
that was, and it looks good. It's not a full remake from the ground up. They are remastering it in 4K. So going from 360 to 4K, it looks really good, but that's why they're able to charge $30 for it, because they're not doing the full ground up remake.
Yeah, and you know, I never had Xbox, so I never played this game, but I'm happy for you, brother.
Bright Falls is one of the best environments I've ever played a horror game in. I love, 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 love Bright Falls. It's super creepy as a backdrop. If you've never played Alan Wake, if you've been a PlayStation gamer, never in the Xbox ecosystem, or hell, it's just been over a decade since you played an Alan Wake game, I cannot recommend this one enough. Alan Wake Remastered, October 5th. Cheap. Pick it up. Maybe it'll come to Game Pass. If it does, I'll probably still play it on PS5 just flat out, because $30 is not a hefty tag, and PS5 games just look better than the Series S. Series S doesn't go to 4K. So I am all about Alan Wake Remastered, October 5th. Pick this one up. Speaking of October 5th, the number 5, Grand Theft Auto 5, for the 900th time, is coming to a new console. We knew this already. But now we know, I believe it said summer of 2022, but now we know it's actually going to be March 2022, PS5 version of GTA 5.
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. And this is where I think it's like the next like five games. This is where it kind of hit a little, it went kind of a little downhill for me for the next five. But I was like, just got tough through these five.
Well, I think the hook here, because remember, this is a 360 game as well. It's funny how I'm saying Alan Wake is a 360 game. Let's do it on PS5. But this one is a 360 game coming to PS5. It came to PS4 and Xbox One as well. So this game's just been around.
It's never going to end. It's just going to keep getting remastered.
Where Alan Wake left the pop culture ethos for a decade, this has always been around. And GTA 5 has been a constant state of a constant source of, you know, news. Even since our podcast has begun, we've talked about this game 100 times out of 250 episodes. So like, we've been talking about it for a while, but I think the hook here is on PS5, you're finally able to do the instantaneous switching of characters. So like, no load screens. The SSD is really going to make this game benefit. And also, I said it already, but like, when you first log into the game, God, it took minutes. And now the SSD, you'll be able to log in just seconds.
Kids will never know the struggles we went through.
What I was expecting here was that GTA trilogy, and we didn't get it announced. It makes me question if it's real or not. But I thought this would have been a perfect platform to kind of unveil that. Maybe
they could just need more time. I mean, that's three games.
They said it was going to release like December. I don't know. Maybe because it'll be somewhere else. It's rumored to come to Nintendo Switch. So maybe they chose to put that into a Nintendo Direct, because there's a lot of rumors by the insiders that next week we're going to get a Direct. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be there. Maybe 5 is coming on the cloud to Switch, and then they'll announce. Who knows? That's all speculation, not in hearsay. Let's focus back on the PS event. Again, not a game I'll be picking up for the third time, because I already bought it on the previous two generations. We got Ghostwire Tokyo. Been waiting a long time to see this game. This is one of those wild games that is coming to PS5 exclusively, but is now being made by, I want to say this is a Bethesda game.
Wasn't this the second trailer? I could have sworn
we've seen it before. Okay, this was not the
world premiere.
Yeah, hold on one second. Is Tokyo... Okay, cool. That's what I thought. Right. It is not a PS5 full exclusive. It is a timed exclusive.
Like a year or something.
Exactly, because I was right. This is being made by, or at least published by Bethesda, which is now owned, or ZeniMax, which is now owned by Xbox. So it's crazy. Deathloop, Bethesda, now Microsoft, which we saw at the showcase, and Ghostwire Tokyo, same thing. Apparently, Deathloop is a forever PS5 exclusive. Ghostwire Tokyo, a timed PS5 exclusive. This is the first time we got real gameplay of this game, so we didn't really know exactly what it was. And now that I know it's a first-person fucking, like, kung fu ghost game, it doesn't look scary at all. I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm kind of interested in those, but I guess I can appreciate the scenery, what you were shown, but I don't know, man. It didn't draw me in.
I love Tokyo. I think it's probably the one city I'd want to actually get on a plane to visit. So, like, I'm all about that. And when games are set there, I'm hyped on that. But first and foremost, it's a first-person game, which already makes me – I prefer that third-person style. And then you're getting that mix of action-y, shooter-y type stuff. I like the Japanese folklore angle. I like Japanese ghosts and yokai. I love that whole thing. Japan and Japanese culture is just fascinating to me. And if I could live anywhere outside the States, it'd be there. But I don't know. I got a lot of games that I can go fuck around with Japanese folklore. I just don't think I need this one in my life right now. And it'll come to Xbox eventually. And I would imagine since it's made by Bethesda, this game will go to Game Pass day one availability. So I'll just wait and eventually play it for free on my Series S. Then we got an update for Guardians of the Galaxy. And like, this is a game I want to love. This is a game I want to play. But the more I see
The hardest pass of any game on here is Guardians of the Galaxy. Hardest pass.
So if I bought you Tiny Tina's Wonderland,
I would play Tiny Tina. I play Tuca, whatever it's called. I'd rather play that than play this game. Well, I am out.
Wow. Well, we'll talk about Chia in a little bit.
Chia in a Kia.
I sell fucking Kias. There's a deep cut. But yeah, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy just doesn't look good. It also doesn't look funny. There was a part in there where the bad guy said something to Peter Quill, and there was a pause, and you knew a joke was coming, and then he never delivered one. And I was like, big swing and a miss. Aesthetically, it doesn't look pleasing to me. It looks
I don't like how the characters. Nope. I hate how Drax looks.
I actually don't mind Drax. I hate how Gamora looks. And I hear that it's semi-accurate to some previous iterations. And I'm not saying we got to get the MCU characters like copied and pasted into the game. I think we learned that, like, even in Marvel's Avengers, some of those characters look decent, like Hulk. But like, when you take a wild spin on it and you swing, especially when the MCU is arguably the hottest thing going right now, you're going to turn a lot of people off if they don't look, MCU accurate. And so I'm not asking for that, but I wouldn't go too drastic away from that. And outside of Peter Quill and Groot, they kind of did. You can't really go too far with Groot's a fucking tree, but man, this game, it doesn't look funny. It doesn't look good. Cosmo the dog looks like something I'm not into. The gameplay doesn't look fun. I
save your money, everyone.
I honestly just don't see myself picking this up. And this is a game, man, a Marvel third-person action game that's not a live service, that actually has a story, is something I've wanted for so long. But I guess I'll just stick with the Spider-Mans of the world, because that's where I'm going to get that enjoyment.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. October 26th, if you are into the Guardians game, Sam and I, not so much. Going to speed through this next one. Don't give a shit about Blood Hunt. It's a battle royale in the Vampire Masquerade world. Not only do I not care about the Vampire Masquerade world, I don't care about battle royales if we're not talking Super Mario 35.
I'm just burnout still on vampires. I felt like we just had so many, games, movies, TV shows. Like, I'm just all vampired out.
Man, I'm a lot of things out. Like, there's a lot of things I have burnout for. Vampire, not one of them. I'm not into the... What is that vampire movie? Shit.
Bram Stoker, Dracula?
No, I mean, that's all cool. That's a classic. But like the Twilight movies and True Blood and all that.
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, never really my style. So like, I'm not vampired out, but I also don't care about this. Like, if I want to play a vampire game, I'll play Redfall. That was announced at the Xbox showcase. That looks pretty cool. This game, not for me at all. Six classes. That's great. Nosferatu is arguably my favorite horror icon ever. Cool, you can play as Nosferatu in this game, but he doesn't even look like Nosferatu. So I am out on this game. Let's move on. We saw our 97th look at Deathloop. It comes out.
I just wrote ha 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 ha.
Basically, it comes out right after this podcast airs. It'll come out September 14th. Again, this is from Arcane. It's Bethesda, so like, it's crazy. This should be an Xbox game, but this was made a PS5 exclusive before the acquisition of Bethesda ZeniMax to Xbox. It's so weird to see that, that when you turn this game on, you might actually see a Microsoft logo. just like when I turn on the show on my Game Pass, I see a PlayStation Studios logo. Oh, wow. On Xbox, that's still wild. I never get over that, except for Quick Resume. Thank you. But yeah, game, from the jump, Deathloop never spoke for me, and it's still not doing that.
I mean, it looks interesting. I just felt like we just didn't need to see it again. We saw it five times.
I'm so Deathlooped out. Like, if I see Deathloop or Far Cry, I immediately just tune out. Like, get me the fuck away from those games. That just tells you that we're in that COVID weird, everything's getting delayed, so we ultra hype up the shit we know is coming.
Yep.
It's like, fuck, dude. I actually appreciate the fact that we're not getting Pokemon news every week now, because, like, goddamn, how much are you going to shove down our fucking faces? Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm cursing a lot more than normal. That game just gets me triggered. I have no interest in Deathloop. We saw like a 4-second teaser for Kid Amnesia, or Kid A Amnesia. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Epic Games and the band Radiohead. They're partnering up for some interactive experience. It's not going to be like a full game. It's coming to PS5 in November. And again, I'm not a Radiohead guy, so I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, I like one song. Mm. Is it sorry, not much to add there? I'm sorry. That obviously was not for us.
Apparently, it's like the name of the game or interactive experience is totally around a Radiohead song or album or something. But again, I'm not a Radiohead guy outside of the one song that was in Tony Hawk.
Exactly.
So, it was
I don't even know the name, but if I hear it, I'm like, yep, that's it.
Turn this bitch up or whatever. I don't know what the actual word they blur out there is, but turn this thing up. Damn it. Anyway, I just butchered Radiohead. Now we lost listeners.
Shame.
The next one we're talking about is Chia or T'Chia. I'm going to go with the silent T and I'm going to go with Chia. This one was Moana meets Super Mario Odyssey. Like flat out, not going to convince me otherwise. She's got a little hand glider, so maybe a little Breath of the Wild in there too. But she can overtake animals and become them. That's a cool mechanic. I like it. I also love it, like indie style games. So this was neat to me. If it's like $20, which I assume it will be $30, if it's like $20, I might dabble, but I have a feeling this one might be $30. Here's what I'll say about it from a positive perspective. It was
a crab.
It was like nothing else we saw. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I'll say that.
It was definitely unique. It wasn't just another third person action game, because outside of Ghostwire, that's what PlayStation is doing a lot of. So, and it's funny too, they opened up with a guitar mechanic and I was like, oh, that's nice. Clearly, this game was in development before The Last of Us came out, but like, that's the exact mechanic The Last of Us 2 had for its guitar. So it's nice to be able to kind of do that again, where you strum the motion pad to get the different chords in the guitar. That was a unique little touch. But if this game's $20, which I don't think it will be, I might dive in. But otherwise, check it out for yourself. A very stylized, very bright and vibrant game. But I'm assuming this is not something that's speaking to you.
No, thank you.
Let's move on to Uncharted, the Legacy of Thieves Collection. If you didn't know you needed Uncharted 4 and Uncharted the Lost Legacy on your PlayStation 5 or PC, which we've called for months, now you can. In early 2022, the PS5 version will hit first. Then I think Iron Galaxy is the developer of the PC version. That will come later. No specific release date. We just know early 2022, it'll package Uncharted 4 The Lost Legacy. I'm sorry, Uncharted 4 The Thief's End and Uncharted The Lost Legacy with remastered PS5 graphics. And I'm assuming haptic feedback in the triggers. Is this something that you're like, hell yeah, I can get back into this?
It's something I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think it's a no-brainer that I'm going to pick it up just because four, it was good. Lost Legacy was probably my least favorite, but I'll pick it up to support it and play, because you know it's going to be fast as hell. It's going to look beautiful on the PS5.
I did enjoy the Lost Legacy more than Uncharted 3, but I admittedly only played Uncharted 3 once. So maybe when the new
Uncharted... the one that, like, don't end. You keep playing. Dude,
and you go into a desert and you just fucking walk.
Yeah, I'm over that one.
Jesus Christ, move. But, you know, I think... whatever. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Let's move on to the PS Studios, the PlayStation Studios first party piece. And they had four announcements, two new, two updates. We'll hit them in order because they dropped a new game on us. They dropped a new game on us to start. And we saw the Insomniac logo. And then we saw the Marvel logo. And we said, oh my God, it's Spider-Man. Let's do it. And then they showed us a derelict bar with dudes getting shit beat like out of them like crazy. I'm like, oh my God, it's Deadpool. That was the first thing I thought. And then we saw a man sitting at a bar with what looked like cuts over his knucks. So you kind of put two and two together. We are getting a brand new PS5 exclusive Wolverine game. What did you think?
I had no idea this was coming in the pipeline. This took me by complete surprise. I feel like this game, out of everything shown, has the highest potential.
And it's funny because it's the thing we saw the least of.
Exactly.
We don't know too much about it, but it's crazy. You see the Insomniac logo. They have already done Miles Morales. They already did the PS5 version of Spider-Man 2018. They already did Ratchet and Clank. Insomniac is quickly becoming PlayStation's number one developer. They are just popping out. They are owning this generation for gaming on across all three of the major consoles. And they're doing great work. And again, they have another game that we'll talk about in a minute coming out. So they have a giant team split to do this. Some people are saying, well, it's the Ratchet and Clank team that are working on this. And I say, I don't think so, because Ratchet and Clank just hit in June. You think you can already put together something like this?
That'd be way too fast of a turnaround,
dude. This is probably the Spider-Man 2018 team.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And maybe they cut it in half and some of them did Miles Morales and then they joined last year.
I believe we had a story saying they split up the teams to work on two separate projects. So I think you're right.
It's potential there, but that would be my guess, is half the Spider-Man 18 team worked on Miles and then did this. And then the other half we'll talk about in a minute. But Insomniac, maybe the Ratchet team is now going to do what we'll announce in a minute, or maybe they'll come to this one now, because I don't expect this game till 23 or 24, given what we know about an announcement that we'll get to in a few minutes.
Yeah, it leads me to be 2024, considering we have another game where they said 2023, so I think that's why they left it off.
And we only got a very small teaser of this, so I don't think that 2022 is even an option.
No.
I don't think they would do two major releases like what we'll talk about in a minute and this in the same year of 23. So again, like you said, that makes me think that Wolverine's a 24 game. But I think that lines up well. If you look at 2021 from a hero's perspective, not too much cooking here. But 2022, Gotham Knights. So DC's got us covered there. Potentially the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, which I still think will be early 2023, maybe March. I think that'll get delayed.
If not even later.
And then you go, late 2023, which I think this will be, which we'll talk about in a minute, a game November 2023 or maybe October for a game we'll talk about in a minute, which then leads you into 2024 for this. It's not like we're barren. We'll still have things to play, especially if Gotham Knights does make that early to mid 2022 window, which I think it will. Excuse me. But again, Insomniac, owned by PlayStation, the fact that this, just like Spider-Man 2018, is a reason to go buy a PlayStation over Xbox, over Nintendo, over Game Pass, that makes me very happy, because if I can only play this on my PS5, I'm happy to let it collect dust for a couple years. If you're going to tell me I get to play a Wolverine game on it, that's hype as shit.
Yeah, and we're going to have plenty of games to play before that.
I'm so excited for this one. This one, when we get to the top three, I have a good feeling we'll see it again. So PlayStation 5, Marvel's Wolverine, we both expect 2024. We then got an extended look at Gran Turismo 7, we now know it'll come in March 2022, when originally it was going to be around launch and then delayed into 21 and now delayed into 2022 officially. We're also getting a PS4 version, which, you know, my thoughts on that. Yeah, exactly. You know, my thoughts on that, when it was only supposed to be 5 and then they say, you know what, let's do 4 as well. That's not a great sign. To me, this game looked a lot better when it was first revealed last year. I was hyped as all get out for this one. I love that new racing game. But then when it got delayed and no news, and when E3 hits and Forza shows us what they showed us, why would I get excited for this when Forza's 2 months from now?
No, and I would put it, looks okay, but Forza's better.
Oh, man.
That's what I wrote down.
And this is a racing sim where Forza is going to be a little bit more of that arcadey fun stuff, but that's what I'm looking for. I want that in my game. Yep. I'm looking forward to Forza. Yeah, man. Gran Turismo. I thought the delays hurt it. I thought the PS4 version hurt it. I thought this look at it hurt it. I didn't think it did anything positive. The only thing I can say is, if you're a racing fan who does not own an Xbox, you're probably excited for this, because it looks great. Don't get me wrong. It just, it took a little bit of the shine off for me. But when I have the option to on Game Pass day one, get Forza, which comes out in November. I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to leave Gran Turismo 7 in the dust a little bit here for me.
Yeah, because it to me, it's not even a competition. Forza is still the best racing game out. Or will be out when it's out.
And I told Sam, I said, Sam, when it comes out in November, I have a 7-foot long couch, so we can stay socially distanced. You're coming over, we're going to play Forza, and we're going to enjoy ourselves for a couple hours and escape this craziness. Like gentlemen. And then, for a lot of people, this was the number one announcement from a new game perspective in yesterday's showcase. We got the Insomniac logo again, eventually. This one was a little different. I thought, just like everybody else, that this was going to be an Infamous game. When that lightning strike hit the pole, I was so hyped. I was like, great, I can go play Second Son on PS Plus and be excited for this. And then I saw the name of the diner, and I think diehard fans picked it up at that point from the New York City thing. But we then saw the Spider-Man logo, and then we saw the Miles Morales Spider-Man, and we see co-op Spider-Man into a dark alley. We saw a lightning bolt. Are we going to get Electro? We might, but we're going to get Venom. We got Spider-Man 2 officially unveiled.
At first, the villain, I thought it was Kraven the Hunter.
It absolutely will, because even in all the write-ups, it's saying Kraven the Hunter.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I thought. And then you kind of zoom in, boom, there's Venom. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was not expecting that. They dropped the release year of 2023. Of course, again, I can see why people are just the number one. We loved the first one that came out. The little spin-off sequel to deal with Miles. That was a fun game. Take my money. Can't wait for this.
I'm on Games Radar right now. Per Games Radar, the Russian voiceover in the trailer talks of finding someone who, quote, someone who could beat me and has Kraven the Hunter written all over it.
Yeah, so that's who I thought from the get. So awesome. That makes me really excited.
And again, Now I know that that's not Sam's.
No, that's not in my house.
No, and I won't call her an asshole. I'm sorry. My daughter wants me to get her from her naps when she wakes up, and unfortunately I'm doing this, so I couldn't. So she's probably upset that her dad couldn't get her. And I just got a text from my wife. She's lost all TV for today. So now I know that I'm in for
Jesus.
The rest of the day. So awesome. All right. Anyway. Co-op, that's what this spells to me all over the place. We're getting co-op Spider-Man, which means we're going to be able to get Electro, Kraven the Hunter, Venom. It's going to suit well for multiple villains because we're going to be able to play as both Peter and Miles. I wonder if it's going to be, even when you're not playing co-op, you can switch between them on different parts of the city, or if they follow each other as a tandem. I wonder what that's going to look like.
Like, I was just like, well, so you're building up both your suits, building up both separate stats, so maybe it's like that's why you would flip-flop play as both, or they force you to play as both, depending on the storyline.
Yeah, it could be that Grand Theft Auto 5, you're kind of switching between exactly. Them. It's a living world. They're both on both opposite sides of the city. This game is obviously, I mean, I love Miles. I loved 2018. This is a day one buy. I cannot wait for this one.
Come on, 2023.
PS5 exclusive, by the way. And the final announcement of the showcase, I think something we've been waiting for just the longest time.
Oh,
I
mean, God.
Even like before it was unveiled last year at the showcase, we knew this was coming. We were so excited. This was collectively our game of the year in 2018. We both had it, 1-2. So it kind of makes it one. God of War Ragnarok. And now it's officially titled God of War Ragnarok. We got a pretty decent blowout, 3-4 minutes of gameplay here, mixed with some CG footage. What'd you think?
I'm ready to dive back into this world. And what is it, Christopher Smith is his voice? Who's the voice of Kratos?
What is it?
Christopher Dan? Or Christopher Judge, maybe?
Christopher Judge, yes.
That's I think that was his name. So it's good to hear that he's back.
Sonny Dreyfus
is back, obviously.
Sonny Soljic is back.
Yeah, again, I know you said
he definitely hit puberty, though, so his voice has changed, but
yeah, definitely.
It takes place a couple years after the first one, so.
And it looks beautiful. Put them blades in my hands.
I have a feeling you're going to lose those blades, or you give them
you
to
You always
tier.
Do. I feel like every game you lost the blades.
Well, the first game you didn't have them, and you need to go find them. I think in this one you lose them early to either Freya or Thor, and you have to go back to the Leviathan axe, because there'd really be no reason to use the axe if you had the Blades of Chaos the whole time. So maybe Thor steals them, or Freya steals them, or even you give him the Tyr because he is the original God of War from North mythology. So I don't know, but I have a feeling you're going to lose those semi early on. But how detailed and wonderful were those environments? You're going through the sled, and like it just looked like that village. That looked like nothing else like the first game had. The first game was wonderfully detailed, but a lot of the backgrounds were kind of empty, didn't have a lot going on. But this one, you could really see the power of the PS5, although we are getting a PS4 version as well, which to me, again, that's not the greatest signal in the world, but...
I can't wait to have the PS5 controller, the haptic feedback in my hand, dive back, you know, the low screens. I can't wait to see how fast they are. If it's even faster than what they've done before, I'm so excited. If it wasn't on this freaking PS5 showcase, I would have lost it.
Yeah, I think this was like the worst kept secret of what was going to be there besides maybe Gran Turismo. Like we knew we were getting an update, and finally, like it felt like a reveal. Like at the end of the last one, the one more thing, which by the way, this showcase did not have a one more thing. This was it. It ended on God of War, which is appropriate, but it's funny because this was the one more thing and all we got was
and the logo
and Ragnarok is coming. That's all we got. Now we see it. It takes place a little bit in the future. It looks great. It plays great. It looks like there's a little bit more enemy variety. I saw some like fish people, like squid. Like it didn't look like just, you know, winged but demon.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
There was no release date, correct?
I don't
remember seeing a confirmed release date. No, there was
absolutely no hard release date. But if you remember about a month or two ago, Santa Monica Studios put out a tweet with a press release saying it was delayed till 2022. So that window still holds. But yeah, we don't have an actual date for
this. It makes me a little nervous, but you know, it's like I'm just glad we got it. It looks beautiful. Take my money.
Well, here's my hypothesis says this one's going to be April of 2022. That's when the first game released was April of 2022. April 20th, as a matter of fact, 420 is when the first game released. And it was supposed to be released in 17, got delayed till February, and then got pushed again to April. So I can see this one releasing in April, maybe that, you know, some between March and May. But again, we have a lot of things that are coming out then, like even Gran Turismo 7's March. So maybe it won't be March, maybe it'll be April or May, right before E3, kind of steal that spotlight again. And for a lot of people, give them a game to play to get them right into the gaming mindset before E3, although Sony doesn't really do E3. But this just blew my mind. It was everything I wanted. It looked exactly how I wanted. It sounded like I wanted. It looks like it plays like I wanted. It expands on the lore like I wanted. That first, you know, that teaser at the end of the first game, to be able to pay that off here, even in just an original trailer, it made me hype. I'm ready to rock and roll on this game.
Yeah, Corey Barlog, you sneaky devil.
Well, Corey Barlog is not the director.
He
is not the director for this game. So if you watched the stuff afterwards, like I kind of mentioned.
So the other guy was the director and Corey was what, just the...
He's just working on the game at this point. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he's a senior advisor or, you know, a producer probably at this point, but he is not the actual developer. God of War has switched directors for every game. Barlog, I believe, directed 2 on the PS2 and then not another one until 2018. But obviously everybody knows him and everybody thought he was the director. What a secret that must have been to keep. And like for this other guy to not just be like, excuse me, everybody, he's getting all the attention. I'm the captain now.
I
was thinking to myself, damn, that's a lot of kind of humble pie and crow you got to eat. But now the cat's out of the bag and they got some baller voice cast. They got the villain from fucking Billy Madison. They got him as the voice of either Odin or Tyr or Thor. I can't remember. But they have one of the guys from Sons of Anarchy as the voice of Thor. Very familiar voice. You'll know it as soon as you hear it. So they got a great cast. Toby from the West Wing. I can't remember his name. It's escaping me right now. But like great casting. All the OGs are back. So it's not like they have to replace Kratos or replace, we'll call him. What was the son's name before they give the big unveiling?
Atreus,
thank you. Before, you know, we won't call him by his actual name. Yeah. You know, he's back against Sonny, who's now an amateur skateboarder, which is pretty cool. But yeah, this game looked awesome. Let's not delay it any further. Let's give our top three.
My number three, it was Wolverine. Took me by surprise. I was not expecting it. Can't wait to play that. My number two, Spider-Man 2. Obviously, I'm going to get Miles and I'm going to get Peter. We're going to get Venom. And hopefully we get Kraven. Can't wait to see that. And obviously, no surprise to anyone, God of War Ragnarok. Been waiting to dive into this game for what it seems like years now. Cannot wait.
I went back and forth with between should Ragnarok or Spidey be my number one. Ultimately, if we never got Miles Morales, Spider-Man would be my number one because it was my game of the year that year. But although Insomniac double dipped and surprised us and swerved us, I have the exact same top three in the exact same order. So,
and basically
for the exact same reasons. Although we knew Ragnarok was a thing and we didn't know Spider-Man 2 was, that's kind of where I was flipping flopping.
Yeah.
But Miles was that kind of palate cleanser, that thing to get us through where we don't have that for God of War. And it came out before Spider-Man. It came out 6 months before Spider-Man. So we haven't even been able to play anything in this universe since April of 2018. I'm itching. I'm ready. Yeah. It was a perfect introduction into that world. We're ready to rock and roll. So Wolverine, Spidey 2, and Ragnarok were my top three as well. That was a great list. Overall, great showcase. I'm glad it happened. Now let me get to that next Nintendo Direct.
I know you're waiting. And I know a game that I was hoping we were going to see a little sneak peek, but a new Twisted Metal game is in early development, according to multiple sources saying Sony wants to release it alongside the TV series.
Which makes total sense. You've actually talked about that on a previous episode as well, that would make sense. We've talked about, would it be a remake? Would it be a new game? I went down the road of new game. You did too, but you also said, hey, I just love it to be a Twisted Metal 2 remake. We don't know. We don't know what it is.
Make the new game, go remaster Twisted Metal 2. Why not throw a little bit extra money in it? You know, hit people's nostalgia, kids growing up now that we're older. You know, again, I'll say it, throw a little online feature of that, and I think you got a hit.
Well, here's what I think. I think you can't do that because then you're leaving Twisted Metal 1 in the kind of just by the wayside. And that was, although not the better game, it is leaving it kind of a legacy behind. I would pull the Tony Hawk / Advanced Wars thing and just go Twisted Metal 1+2. And you could do like a re-spin or, you know, the sweetest edition. Something you can do, a car combat fun little name on it or whatever. But that's the route I would go because nobody wanted Tony Hawk 1 by itself.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted Tony Hawk 2. Advanced Wars, well, that's kind of the opposite. Everybody wanted 1. But 2 is a beloved game. But that's like kind of the thing right now. If we get a remake, a lot of times we're getting 2 of them. Twisted Metal 1, not the biggest game in the world. This gives you more maps, a couple more characters. You could do an overlapping story. Give us 1+2, resawed or whatever. Who cares what you call it? And then that could get us through. But I think this is a new game. And maybe we get both. Who knows? But with the car combat genre becoming a thing again, even with the flop that was Destruction All-Stars, this is great news. You had Jeff Grubb saying it and Andy Robinson, who famously blocked me on Twitter because I called him out because he called it amazing games done quick, not awesome games done quick. And when I said to him very respectfully, hey man, it's not the actual name of the charity event that just raised $2.5 million. He decided to block me instead of being civil. So fuck you. But thank you for dropping this news because that's just what we needed on a Wednesday afternoon. I cannot wait. Whatever this is, take all the money.
Sony listened to the fans with Horizon Forbidden West PS5 upgrade, but now there's a loophole with the retail price.
Originally last week, we talked about it. There is no upgrade path. If you get the PS4 version, that's what you got. If you get the PS5 version, that's what you got. If you want to switch, you got to rebuy the game or buy one of the enhanced editions. You can't just pay the $10 and get the upgrade or do it like a lot of other games and free. We talked about that last week, but Sony went back on that and they said, now there will be a free upgrade from the PS4 to the PS5 version, which leads me to believe that buying the PS5 version is completely pointless. Why would you spend $70 for the 5 as opposed to buying it for $60 for the 4? We can upgrade for free.
Just people want the physical copy just to have it for the PS5 system.
That's the only, I was going to say, there's only one reason I can think to spend that buck, the $10, is so you get the little white PS5 at the top of your game case not the blue PS4. The only reason, and I know, Sam, if this was one of your favorite games and you were looking forward to it, you would do that. I know you.
I'm OCD like that. Again, I'm old school, though. I like having that physical copy in hand.
But I just meant like you would buy the PS5 version just so you don't have a sore thumb PS4 random ass thing in the middle of your PS5 collection. But yeah, still not a game that, you know, does anything for me. I'm glad it wasn't at the showcase since it just got that state of play not too long ago. But thank you for Sony for listening. But if I did want it, I'd buy the PS4 and just upgrade for free. I'm like that. I got a penny pinch in these tough times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. AGDQ 2022. will now be live January 9th through the 16th.
No, it will not be live.
Oh, will not be live. Oh, I misread that. Excuse me. I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah. They actually announced that the event will be another online event.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to, right?
They went back and forth. They said it was the toughest decision they had to make, but there's just no way to get thousands of people in the same room together safely.
Well, I was going to say it would have been probably way too expensive to get COVID tests for, you know, gamers or streamer, whoever's coming.
Well, they did the last in-person one in Jan 2020. They did that in Florida, and we all know Florida is a little bit more eased on their restrictions. So I don't know if logistically it would be that difficult. I just think morally and public, the court of public opinion. And I'm with it. I wear a mask still everywhere, even if they're not mandated. So I'm down with that. I'm glad this is online. It does take a little bit away. It's like wrestling. It doesn't have the same feel when you're not in the live room, but one or two more and we'll be back to normal. I have faith if everybody decides to take the right route by either Summer Games Done Quick or AGDQ 2023, I think we'll have live crowds again. I applaud them for this decision because it surely wasn't easy.
And the last store we have in gaming, we got a review. WarioWare, get it together.
The first WarioWare game in forever. I canceled my pre-order. It's only 50. I canceled my pre-order. I decided against it. The demo was fun, but for micro games, I just wasn't in a $50 mindset right now. If eventually Nintendo does what they never do and put it on sale, I'm sure I'll pick it up eventually. It's just not for me on launch day. But here's the review. IGN had to say, WarioWare, get it together, is an absurd delight. Testing your ability to think quickly and adapt on the fly in a series of ever-escalating microgames. That tried-and-true formula is still a lot of fun. Looking better than ever, and introducing unique characters that either bring interesting twists or mechanical frustration to familiar games, depending on who you're using. It's a shame that Get It Together's multiplayer options somewhat drop the ball. Enough for an evening or two, but lacking the staying power beyond that.
Seven.
And it sounds like I actually would have thought eight, because it sounds like the only downside of this is the multiplayer. And from what I'm seeing from people, the microgames are as fun as ever, especially the Nintendo classics. They're giving you games inside of games. Breath of the Wild, Mario, all this cool stuff. But yeah, something I will get eventually, just not for me right now. As we move into the movies section, Sam, you saw Shang-Chi, however you choose to pronounce it. Give us your very high-level, spoiler-free impressions. Is it as good as everybody's saying?
No, I don't think it's 98% of it. I think it's the highest audience score of any superhero film ever.
That's correct.
That's a little much. But I will say, Simon Liu as Shang-Chi, I think that's how they said it in the movie. He was fantastic. The fight scene, the bus scene is my favorite part, action scene of the whole movie. So like you see that part, it's like in like the first 10 minutes. And the scene goes on for about 5-10 minutes. And it's my favorite part of the whole movie. That whole fight, the choreography, everything done, that was awesome. Like I don't think they topped it. It went to somewhere where I wasn't expecting a kaiju battle. I wasn't kind of expecting it to turn into that, but it had some moments where it just felt, you know, a little slow. I got, you know, a little tired. I remember there was maybe 10-15 minutes there. I was like, when people were saying it was action packed, like there was action. Don't get me wrong, but there was a moment in there where it got a little slow. I mean, you're talking the movie's 2 hours and 12 minutes, so it's, you know, it's a pretty long movie. Awkwafina was better than I thought she was going to be. Had a couple funny moments, but again, like, you know, some moments that fell flat. Again, there was a character in here that I literally just, I just don't give a shit. I don't care. There's nothing that can be done. No matter what, anything they could try to retcon, there's nothing they could do. So for that, I give this a solid 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. I still think it's kind of like your Marvel, kind of just, you know, it's the Marvel formula. Like they know what works and they keep doing it. And it looks like they delivered. Obviously, you got the audience rating that high. The box office worldwide is already at 162.1 million, and they averaged a budget at 150 to 200. So you figure to be profitable with marketing, it's like they need like 400 plus million. So almost halfway there. We'll see if he holds up as well they did at the box office last week.
Set the Labor Day record too. Yes, they did. Weekend record. So that's like not talking pandemic. Like that's not only 2 years. We're talking like the Labor Day box office record. So that's good to see. And it actually is making other movies rethink their release dates. We'll talk about that in just 1 second. But my thing to you is, you had said last week, someone told you it was a copy and paste and it wasn't the greatest. And then you're hearing basically the opposite from everybody else. And I know you talked about it, but my big question to you is, was the story at least intriguing, or am I going to feel like I can take any Marvel character, drop them in here? Obviously, you know, origins and the Asian thing, like that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like just from a story beat perspective, is this just another three act structure origin story? Is there more to this?
No, and I kind of figure that's all. It's Marvel's format. If you like, it's tough to explain without me basically trying to spoil in the movie. But if you say it, I think you'll feel the same way. Like it's a good movie. Like I enjoyed this more than Black Widow. Mm. If that makes, you know, makes you feel any better. But again,
well, you had glowing things to say about it, so again, it doesn't shock me.
This was Jackie Chan's fight choreography, guys. This, and the one guy passed. I'm blanking on his name right now. God damn it! What the hell was his name? But he passed, and like at the end of the movie, they gave like a you know like in remembrance or you know for him. I can't think of his name. God damn it! I'm drawing a freaking blank. But you could see like so much of Jackie Chan's fighting style, especially in the bus scene where like they take off half his shirt and he's kind of doing the spin stuff, kind of like Jackie Chan stuff. So it's like probably why I like the movie is the action as much as I did, because it's Jackie Chan's crew or friends or kind of who started with him. And that's probably why I liked the movie as much as I did and martial arts stuff like that. But Shang-Chi, it was interesting, had some cameos in it. There's two end credit scenes.
Ooh, and, nice. You know, I didn't know that.
So I would say this is probably just again your mid to upper tier.
Is this okay if I waited till Disney Plus, or is this something I need to go see now?
I don't think you have to run out, but it does have some beautiful scenery, I'm not gonna lie. So maybe, but again, you have the freaking like 80-inch TV, so to me you can wait.
Sam, it's 80 fucking five. I'm just kidding.
But you're right, like you have that. So to me, honestly, wait.
It is 85 though. So we talked about this movie kind of changing people's minds and studios' minds about like release dates and potential there. It's doing it for Venom. For the fifth time, Venom is changing. We saw last week it was delayed till 2022 from October. Now it's going to move back to October and even further up. It's like 3 weeks from now. Venom, Let There Be Carnage will now release October 1st.
I mean, again, so like they testing what they're seeing with Shang-Chi. Oh, Shang-Chi made some money. Well, let's make it come out sooner. It's just like, all right. Get it a little sooner. I'll take it. I'm still keeping this kind of on, you know, keeping my expectations low.
Well, you've seen multiple movies back in theaters now. Is this another one you're going to be going to see in the first week or so?
I mean, you know, again, like I always do. I always try to support the superhero movies. It seems like that's the only time I go to the movies now is to support a superhero film. So, yeah, I'll probably be there.
I was watching the NFL's back week one last night, Cowboys Bucks, and I was watching that game. And in the middle of the game.
How about them Cowboys?
in the middle of the game. They dropped I thought it was a new TV spot. Now I don't watch a ton of live TV, so maybe it's not, but they dropped a 30-second spot for Venom. And I thought this footage looks a little bit newish. Is it growing on you now that we know it's rated PG-13? I know that kind of pisses us off, but is this something you're willing to forgive and get ready to rock?
To have Carnage. Carnage is the hardest R. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a little, it's not like, it's almost unforgivable.
You know, what did the guy quoted? It's like driving a speedboat in a bathtub or something like that. Like the director said something. I think he said that about Dune, but
yeah, that's right. You're right. If you watch it on a small screen, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that's what I'm going to pertain to. But again,
Dick? I'm going to watch Dune in my small screen. Right where I watch Many Saints in Newark, the same day that Venom comes out, by the way.
I cannot. Joey
Diaz. The trailer looked awesome.
Joey's joint had Michael Gandolfini on the podcast, just kind of talking about the movie, finished film, and you know how he was, you know, about his dad doing The Sopranos, and it was just an awesome inside deep dive.
That trailer made me. I had a couple hours to myself the other day. That trailer made me fill that free time while watching Donnie Brasco. Like, nice. I'm so ready to dive back into the mob world, man. And so Many Saints in Newark coming out on the same day as Venom is tricky for me. One of those, like, they're different audiences, but you got to think. In this day and age, a lot of people are taking their movie nights out like kind of serious. They might only, you know, I only want to do that. I think that might hurt Many Saints. I don't think Venom by any means is going to be a blockbuster, like $1 billion, even like 700. I don't think it's going to hit that mark, even close, really. But I think it's going to take a couple viewers away. So I'm very glad that Many Saints is on HBO Max, because that's where I think that movie's going to shine. I think it's going to do very well.
Oh my HBO God. Max. That's, I think that's going to, you know, I think what was,
Mortal Kombat's the number one.
I think Suicide Squad was 2.8. I think we're getting minimum over 3.
What? Really? Yeah. See, I thought this would have been number 4 behind, Godzilla versus Kong. That, but you do have a lot of Sopranos fans out there, and just, this is actually, you know what though? This, you have a point, because this is the first movie that doesn't have that type of kaiju, you know, superhero audience. Mortal Kombat,
a fight, you know, and you know, to have like David Chase kind of coming back and getting some of the crew. The
plus, it's a Sopranos movie, and that's just, it's an all time. So you're right. You're right.
People have been hungry for more in this world.
I think you make a good point. I would not be shocked if this tops 3. Good point. And this, again, being the same day as Venom, I think HBO Max is going to be the destination for that movie. I'm looking forward to it. But something else we've been looking forward to for like a year. We finally got a trailer for the new Matrix movie. I'm going to call it the Matrix 4 because I can't. Is it Resurrections or something?
Yes, Resurrections. Yeah.
Yeah. I am not a Matrix guy. So I actually did not watch the trailer on purpose, because if I do decide to, I got to watch the first 3 before. So I didn't want to get any spoilers for that just in case. But I know you watched the trailer. What'd you think?
Again, and I'm not like
people were hyping this shit up, by the way, saying it was a damn good trailer.
I'm not like a Matrix lover fanatic. I watched all 3. My third one was my least favorite. I think I would say maybe the second one I liked the most. But this one, it felt like a little different vibe for me. I got Keanu looking like John Wick. Lawrence Fishburne's not playing Morpheus. You have Yahya Abdul-Mateen is playing a younger Morpheus who's Black Manta in Aquaman. He plays the villain there. So he's playing a younger version of Morpheus. You have Carrie Ann Moss back as Trinity. Jada Pinkett Smith is Nobi, I think you pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. Now it's Lana Wachowski. She's directing it, and I think she wrote it a little bit too with 2 other people. I guess I was indifferent on this trailer. I don't know if I'm excited for it. I don't know if maybe if I need to rewatch The Matrix. It's been a lot of years to dive back into this world. It's going to be on HBO Max. I think that's kind of where I'm going to be watching this. Our girl Jessica.
Oh my Henwick, God! I forgot it is.
Our girl Jessica Henwick's in it too. Neil Patrick Harris is in it.
I saw that. I did see like a small a clip, and I saw NPH. Does that mean that the other 3 are? They might already be on HBO Max. This might be even easier for me because, as you know now, I started The Lord of the Rings. So, and I'm still only 45 minutes in. I haven't been able to watch it the last couple of nights, but I think that's a good, I forgot it was an HBO Max movie. Fuck, that gives me a little bit more incentive to go watch them now. A little bit more.
I never thought I would ever go back into the Matrix world, but it looks like I'll be taking the red or blue pill.
Which one?
Probably blue.
Blue? You know what else is blue? I was hoping you'd say that. The DC logo is blue a lot of times, sometimes when it wants to be. And we also got a trailer for DC's Injustice. You know the games. You love the games. Now we're getting that animated movie coming in October. We got our first trailer, just over a minute long, very heavy on the Joker, which kind of disappointed me. I was looking for something else, but at the same time, the fuck do I know about Injustice? So I'll kick it over to you. What'd you think of the Injustice trailer?
So it looks like it's coming to Blu-ray October 19th. This, I think I even already pre-ordered it, if I'm not mistaken.
And probably another HBO Max not soon after.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, this place on an alternate Earth where Joker tricks Superman into killing Lois Lane, which sends him into a rampage, and basically an unhinged Superman takes over or tries to take control Earth, and then basically Batman basically trying to come up with some kind of plan to stop freaking Superman. Superman being voiced by Justin Hartley, who in live action in Smallville played the Green Arrow, so it's good to see him as Superman. Anson Mount is voicing Batman. He was actually on the failed show of Inhumans. He was Black Bolt. Girl Laura Bailey, she's playing Lois Lane. Anyone else that is worth mentioning? Blah, 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 blah. Fred Tatasciore is Captain Atom, but again, this is going to be, and it's rated R. If you're fans of the video games or not, I think this is going to DC animated movies. They rarely miss, and I think they're going to nail this one.
That's what I was just about to say. If you didn't, that if you're on the fence, DC Animation should put you on the good side of that fence. They generally hit pretty good.
Yeah, go watch any of the last two, three. I'll always recommend Justice League. It was Apocalypse War. That movie was fantastic.
A story that just broke right before we started recording. 007, No Time to Die got an official runtime, 2 hours and 43 minutes.
I believe that will make it the longest running 007 movie of all time.
Yes, that would actually be the case, yes.
I mean, hey, you're wrapping it up. It's Daniel Craig's final bow, so it only, even though there's No Time to Die, it's the longest movie. Whatever, I cannot wait to see it.
Pokemon the movie Secrets of the Jungle, which is the Zarude movie, it's around a Generation 8. It came out in Japan right around or before the pandemic. It's been a long time coming to the United States. Obviously, with COVID, it was tough to get the voice acting, the translation, and everything done. But we now have a release date. It's skipping theaters. It's going October 8th to Netflix. Count me in. I'm excited. The same day as the OLED and Metroid Dread. So I might be a couple days late to that party. But there's something I want to keep you to make you aware of. If you have Pokemon Sword and Shield, they already gave away a Zarude, the mythical Pokemon, the dark grass monkey, brand new mythical for Sword and Shield. They gave one away already last year or early this year. I can't remember. If you signed up for the Pokemon newsletter on their website, if you are still subscribed to that, I would recheck those emails, because if you are subscribed and you have until October 7th, the day before the movie comes out, you will now get a new form of Zarude emailed to you in that newsletter that you can then redeem in Sword and Shield, the Papa form where he's wearing the pink scarf, and a shiny Celebi from Generation 2.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
A pink shiny Celebi. So you'll get both of those for free if you are a Pokemon Trainers Club member. So go to Pokemon.com, just sign up for the Trainers Club. It's free. You get a couple emails a month, you deal with it. But then you get the code for these. So I took that out of my spam and put it back in my inbox just so I don't forget, because that I'm looking forward to getting more of those Pokemon in my Pokedex. So there's that. Sam, we got the first look at Jason Momoa's suit for the Aquaman sequel. I think it's called The Lost Kingdom. What'd you think?
I thought it actually looked pretty good. I mean, I kind of still like the...
A couple of our listeners disagree.
It was a little different, but I still think I liked the original one at the end of the first one. I thought that suit was badass, but I mean, I'll give the shoot a shot. Why not?
If you're kind of like, what the hell are these guys talking about? It's basically almost all black. There's little bits of bronze or copper around the shoulders and the belts and his boots. And I thought
it was more, like, wasn't it a little bit blue?
Might have been. See, in the picture, I can't tell if it's the light that makes it look navy blue or if whatever.
Yeah, I thought it looked a little bit more blue rather than black.
It's, you know, do you hear Laurel or do you hear whatever? Like, it's up to you. Go check out for yourself. It's on our IG right now, so you can take a look at the picture. Do you think it's black, blue? Not really important, but it's dark with copper tones. There you go. Dark with copper tones. It looks fine. There's nothing really offensive for me on it. It's still simple. It doesn't like look overbearing. And that's the only thing that would really turn me off, is like this giant, huge suit that you can't even tell it's Jason Momoa. And that's just not Aquaman style. So that's fine with me. The last story we have is the final review of the day for Halloween Kills. And as I'm pulling this up and I'm getting ready to read it, Halloween Kills actually has some news along with it, as the same day they made the decision that for the same day that this movie releases in theaters, it's going to come for free to Peacock as well.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So I told Ashley, she's been wanting to see this movie forever since it was announced. She's a huge horror fan, huge Halloween fan. So I said, now that it's coming to Peacock, now we can watch it at home in the basement. She said, great. She hasn't been in the basement in almost a year. So outside of a tornado warning for 15 minutes 2 weeks ago, Halloween Kills suffers from being the second chapter in a trilogy, but it still delivers gory, fun, fantastic performances, which is great to hear for a horror movie, by the way, and an electrifying score from John Carpenter. There are enough callbacks to the original film to satisfy Carpenter fans while also expanding the mythology around Michael Myers and the town of Haddonfield in meaningful ways.
Seven?
Yeah, you got it. Today's the 7 day. They're back to sevens. IGN, you're back to seven. Listen, when in doubt, guess 7.
Yes.
Simple
it's
as that.
It's a safe bet.
We only have a couple more stories before we get to the CGC spotlight. Only one in TV this week, and that's just quick impressions for me. That show we talked about, that new series, the animated series for Pokemon, Pokemon Evolutions, has debuted already. So we talked about it in 249. 249. episode one dropped yesterday. So if you're listening to this, it dropped Thursday. It's available on Pokemon's YouTube channel and it's 8 minutes long. Excuse me. They're going to go through all the generations. And this one started in Galar. So of our Sword and Shield fans, it started in the new gen. It is the prettiest a Pokemon anime or animated project has ever looked.
Wow. That's great to hear.
You know what it is, man? It feels like an adult themed anime. And I don't mean from the actual like subject material, but from the actual animation style. It looks great. It looks almost like Initial D, but that's kind of the vibe I got. But, you know, Leon, the champion, looks older and huskier and real. And, you know, the protagonist and Hop, they look good. The Pokemon look good. Charizard finally looked great. I was actually excited about Charizard for the first time in a while. And it was so great. And I think the only downside was that it was only 8 minutes long.
Oh, you wanted it longer. Okay.
I would have loved it to be 12 to 13 because it ends on a cliffhanger. It's like, damn it. Now I got to wait for episode two. They usually drop these once every couple weeks, but it's 8 minutes of your time. Sam, if you remember back in 2013, I put you onto something called Pokemon Origins.
Yep.
That four part. Now that was a 20-minuter. They all were 20 minutes. This is the best since then. It's not as good as that. And it's only one episode. So I don't want to overreact, but it's my favorite animated thing since Origins, which is still my favorite of all time. If if you don't count the main anime, at least the first couple seasons. So, they just released an episode on their YouTube channel of the Johto journeys back in the day, back when it was still Veronica Taylor doing Ash and all that. That dude, if you ever watch the first after the Orange Islands, if you ever watch the Pokemon anime, that theme song bops. Pokemon Johto, Pokemon Johto. Do you remember that?
I do not. I know the original.
Anybody out there who's a Pokemon Gen 2 fan, that brings back memories. I haven't heard that song in a decade, and it slaps. So anyway, Pokemon Evolutions is totally worth your 8 minutes. And even for you, Sam, who has never played Sword and Shield, who might not know the names of three of those Pokemon in there, it was the animation itself was reason enough to go check it out. 8 minutes. Evolutions episode one. For music, our friends in Bearings just released a new single called Get the Need. If this was on their latest record, which I think it's on the deluxe, It's You, it would have been my favorite song on the record.
Wow. I didn't hear the song yet, but I did hear that it will be released on the deluxe. I think it's out.
It is. It's out. It has a music video and all that good stuff. So you can check it on YouTube. I have it streaming on Spotify. It's that good. It's the best Bearings song since So Damn Wrong, premiered in 2019.
What? Jesus.
Yeah. Or maybe early 20. Whatever the case may be. It is an amazing song. So that's from our friends Bearings. If you're wondering like why we're talking about a random single, they're friends of the podcast. We had them on. They were our last live interview before the pandemic hit. Last concert, March 6th, 2020. Time's getting away from us, brother. Sam, take us home. Your CGC spotlight.
And this is the TCG spotlight. My bad. I forgot.
My bad.
So the next couple will be the TCG spotlights because I'm at a slab still waiting for CGC to even work on one of my books, getting a little frustrated, but that's
well, it's definitely not going to be a weekly WADA.
I'm going to bring that up.
Keep going. Inside baseball, folks. Inside joke. Continue.
But this week we have the shiny Charizard GX from Pokemon's 2019 set, Hidden Fates.
The black, shiny. Oh,
baby. This is the one that people have bought. You know, I've watched people open so many boxes and boxes and spend literally over $1,000 and literally not pull this card. So I was like, wait, wouldn't it be just to buy the card cheaper? But again, I understand you want the thrill of pulling it live. I get it. But this was an absolute beautiful card. I had to have it in the collection. Took CGC a little bit, you know, I believe the whole turnaround time from me shipping it out to them and me getting it back was about 4 months total. I got the subgrades like I always do. Centering got an 8.5. Surface, we got a 9. Corners, a 9.5. Edges, a 9.5. So the overall total grade was a mint 9, which all I wanted was a 9 or better. I'm perfectly happy. There's no dings or anything in the case. Got in a little protective sleeve. I just think this is one of the prettiest Charizards. Black promo, black Charizard, it's like 10 grand and like a freaking PSA 10. It's absolutely crazy. So to me, this was like the next best thing. Glad I was able to get it for Hidden Fates. There's still no TCG, CGC pop report that I'm aware of. So I'm just going to go right from the PSAs. There's a total of 3,701 total graded. There's 1, 2, 3, 5s, 7 6s, 15 7s, 111 8s, 1,069 9s, and 2,495 10s. So it's, again, people nowadays are looking at it as a collection. As soon as they get it right in the pack, boom, throw it in the sleeve, off to the PSA getting graded, which is why there's going to be probably now, by now, there's probably over 2,500 graded. But Charizard, my boy, I had to have the shiny Charizard GX from Hidden Fates.
Everybody, that was our big giant episode 250. There's like another part of it that's coming Monday because we did an interview with our friend Sergio Anello. We did not want to put in this episode. We wanted to give him his time in the sun with his brand new release, a hodgepodge of modern furniture and antiques coming out September 17th. We really wanted to focus on the PS5 showcase, and I think we did that pretty damn well today. We covered everything.
Nailed it.
Soup to nuts. Yeah, I would say that. Thank you to everybody for hanging around for 250 episodes. You're all crazy.
We love you.
And we just do.
That's period. We love you. Thank you, everyone, for the support. Always in our DMs, messaging us, reaction, telling us what we think, yelling us, telling we're crazy for not loving this. We appreciate y'all.
We had somebody DM us and say, sorry for all the DMs. Like, I know that they must be a lot. And I said, we cherish every one of them. So keep them coming.
Yep.
You can always DM us. Let us know what you think of the show. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/WePodSquad. Even a dollar gets you in. We really appreciate any help you can give us there. And we'll see you next week, baby. We love you. We'll see you for 250 more next week on episode 251.
Not even Neo anymore. That's John Wick.